Hello, Grinders, and welcome to The Weekend Grind. I'm your host, Travis Mangone, here to break down the slate for you guys. We have a pretty interesting 10-game slate. It's all over the place. So much value. There's so much going on the slate, so we'll dive right in. Try to be as quick as possible as I can for you guys. There's just a lot going on the slate, so just get ready for it. A lot to keep track of, and we got the DraftKings live final over there, so you know, a lot of people for Road Grinders representing us. We got Notorious over there. We got SDL Cards. Cal is over there, and Killaby. I don't want to leave him out. So yeah, the four of them are going to be repping us, and hopefully they can take it down tonight, so it'll be definitely fun. But let's start talking about these games. First thing we got here, we got the Houston Rockets and the New Orleans Pelicans. This is a 227 total, and probably one of the best games on the slate, you know, except because that value that's going to be all throughout the slate, that's obviously going to be helpful. But this is a game that is going to be a great game stack, and one you're definitely going to want to look to target. If we look at the Rocket side of the ball first, Chris Paul, right? His price is just kind of insane right now. 7.9K is a really great price tag for him over on DraftKings and FanDuel. I believe it's like 8.3, somewhere around there. That's just a really cheap price tag for him in a matchup against a guy like Rajon Rondo. Getting his type of defense is something that you want to target. He's going to be a great play. And honestly, I think I'm preferring him more than James Harden right now on this slate. Because I feel like I can just, I'm getting a lot of really good bang for my buck with him at that value. And again, I do like James Harden. I think he's another elite play as well. But I do like Anthony Davis and LeBron James a lot too. It's like those are the three studs and they're all in amazing spots today. So it's kind of tough to decide which one of the three you want to take. I think they're all great plays. But I don't know. Part of me feels like I'm kind of just hedging my way and saying, hey, I'll get Chris Paul cheap exposure instead and then maybe get exposure to Davis and the LeBron. Maybe I can pull that off with Chris Paul. I don't know. Probably tougher to do on DraftKings, but on FanDuel, it's probably possible. But with all the value, I mean, there's just so much that we're going to talk about. So again, I like Chris Paul. I think he's a really good play. I think Harden's a very elite play too. Ryan Anderson, some news in this game. It sounds like he's going to play 10 to 15 minutes and be on a like limited minutes restriction. So if that's the case, right, I think that eats just enough into a lot of these guys' values, like the Luke Richard and Bamute, the PJ Tucker, you know, some of those type of guys, the Joe Johnsons. I think that's just going to hurt them a little bit. So I'm not really interested in any of them. Clint Capella, I don't like his price on FanDuel at 7,700, but I like him at 6,900. Think he's a really good play, could definitely thrive in this matchup. Pelicans just don't play a ton of defense at all. They struggle, so I think Capella's an interesting play on DraftKings. Last two guys I really want to discuss is Trevor Ariza. I like to target wing players that shoot threes against the Pelicans, and that's what Trevor Ariza is. It's tough, though, because, you know, 4.7K earlier in the day, I thought, oh, he'd be a pretty good value. But with all this value just opening up, I mean, it's going to be really tough to, like, love Trevor Ariza here. And then Eric Gordon, right, he could definitely thrive as, like, a sixth man, be a really interesting low-owned tournament play. But, again, it's just starting to feel like the wrong slate with the way the injury news is kind of shaken up so far. So let's go on to the next team. We got the New Orleans Pelicans. Anthony Davis, right, he's a great play. Just play him if you want to. It's scary to be underweight on a guy like him, but yeah, he's a guy that has been absolutely crushing. I believe like the last six games, he's averaging like 60 DraftKings points. This guy's just been on an absolute tear. So he's obviously a good play. He's good at basketball. If you want exposure to him, if you want him to be your pay-up option, pay up for him. I think he's definitely going to be a good play. Rajon Rondo's a guy I'm definitely going to stay away from. Interesting thing I saw when I was looking at the head-to-head game lines between Rondo and Chris Paul is he had a triple-double against him in one of the games, and then the game after, which was his last game played, he played 17 minutes and had 0 points. So just Rondo is such a GBP play. If you believe in him and you want to put him in a game stack or whatnot, I get it, but I don't know. I think he's too risky for me. I'm not really going to target him on this slate. Jrue Holiday, starting to feel a little priced up for my liking over on FanDuel. $9,000 is a lot, but $8,300 on DraftKings, I really like that price tag. I think that he's someone that you can definitely get some exposure to, and there's enough upside here. The guy's been absolutely crushing, and I expect him to have a pretty good game here too. If we're going to mix in some of these cheaper Pelicans options, I think an Etwan Moore is a great guy to mix and match throughout your lineup. It's more of a cash game play rather than a tournament because I worry about the upside. Mecca Okafor, I get it, but I kind of don't think the game script goes his way. I think this is more of a Mirotić spot. So, and with all this great value now, like, Okafor's just not that great of a play. So let's just throw him out the door. And I think Mirotić is interesting at that price. I really, really think that Mirotić could have a pretty solid outing. And at that price, he does have upside, right? we see him at the price of, what is it, 5,400 on DraftKings. This is a guy that we've seen put up 40 fantasy points, even like 45 at times. So I think the upside for him is insane. So I think you have to have some type of interest in a guy like Mirotić here. So yeah, that's kind of about it for the Pelican side of the ball. Again, this is a game we want to target and one that we like. But don't forget, there was just tons of news that have broken. So we're going to want to have interest in a lot of those value plays. And it's more so the pay-up options that I'm really interested in, I think, on the Pelican side and the Rocket side of the ball rather than the value. Moving on to the Indiana Pacers and the Washington Wizards. And man, this is another game. Has a little bit of value, but not the greatest game on the slate. 208.5 total. Let's just go over the Wizards really quick. I'm not playing any Wizards unless I get news that someone's out. I think they're all pretty priced up for John Wall being there. And let's just move on from the Wizards and spend time on other spots because this is not that great of a spot for the Wizards. The Pacers are interesting, though. Miles Turner is questionable. If Miles Turner doesn't play, we're going to have some interest in a guy like an Al Jefferson. I mean, I get it, right? You're going to be like, Travis, why am I talking about Al Jefferson? That makes zero sense. Well, you know, Sabonis is out, so there's obviously reasons like him. We also have Thaddeus Young, who's questionable with an illness. So, like, is this just going to be Al Jefferson's world and he's just going to absolutely dominate? It's just, like, hard to see him not get a ton of run. And when he played against Toronto, look what he did. He had 25 minutes and he put up 43.4 fantasy points. Like, I just don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that he has a massive game here. Again, it's crazy to think that we're talking about a guy like him, but he's definitely the conversation if Turner and Thaddeus Young get ruled out. Also, Sabonis is already out. So there's reasons to have interest in those kind of guys there. Also, Trevor Booker, I don't know what type of minutes he'll see. His minutes the last five games are 13, 17, 18, 17, 18. I'm curious if he'll get some, you know, big amount of minutes and maybe he becomes an interesting play because I know he's been a guy that I've rostered in DFS and liked and has been absolutely crushing. So when he gets the minutes, right, recently he has been crushing, but in the past he's been a guy that we've really liked to target. So I don't know. I think that's definitely someone to have some type of interest in. And then I'm curious what they do with like the Alex Poitras and TJ Leafs. Like, are they going to get some run? I don't know. It's curious to find out what happens with Thad Young and Miles Turner and something that we're going to want to have to monitor. Other than that, like Victor Oladipo, I like his price on DraftKings more than FanDuel, 8,200. I think there's upside there, but I don't know. I don't think I'm going to go that route, but I understand if you want to on DraftKings, I wouldn't talk you off it. And then Bojan Bogdanovic, he was a guy that I really liked him as a value play earlier on in the day, and now I'm starting to kind of temper my expectations because there's just so much great value plays already where I don't think I need to mess around with the Bojan Bogdanovic. But I will say this, in his two games against Washington, he's averaging like 35 DraftKings points, has just played really well against them, and we know why, right? Washington has been poor against small forward position all season long. They're currently ranked 24th, so it makes sense that Bogdanovic could have a big game here, so I don't hate him, think he's a fine play on the slate. Let's move on to the next game, though. We have the Charlotte Hornets and the New York Knicks. Again, another game that we're going to have some value here. Lance Thomas and Courtney Lee are both ruled out for personal reasons, so they're going to be interesting plays that, you know, there's going to be some interesting value here, essentially, that we can look at on the Knicks side of the ball. Like, I'm assuming Emmanuel Mudiay and Trey Burke and Frank Nicolina, I'm assuming that they'll just get a solid amount of run at that guard spot like we saw in the past. They weren't just, you know, they were playing point guard and shooting guard. Then they moved back to mainly playing point guard. I think this is where we're going to see them getting some more shooting guard run because with the injury, right, a guy like Tim Hardaway Jr., he'll probably slide at the three a lot more, and he's going to get a ton of minutes. So I really think that some of these Knicks guards are in play as some interesting value plays that you can target. Tim Hardaway Jr., I think he's a fine, safe option that'll see a ton of minutes, but not one of my favorite plays. Michael Beasley, he's a guy that's been, you know, not the greatest. He had that good game last game against Philly, but that seems like an anomaly for what's going on with the Knicks. I know if he gets like, you know, 33 minutes and 32 minutes like the last two games, we can expect a lot out of him, but the Knicks are just so unpredictable right now. It's really frustrating, and I kind of just don't want to mess around with them. Like I said, we already have a lot of really strong like value plays on this slate, and I don't know. I just don't think I need to mess around with a guy like Michael Beasley here. If you look at the big men, they're going against Dwight Howard, and I really don't want to mess around with it. I don't think it's a great matchup for any big man, and unless I get word that like maybe Enes Kanter is ruled out, maybe that'll have like a Kyle O'Quinn be interesting, but again, it's not an easy match against Dwight Howard, and I'd worry about a guy, a foul trouble for a guy like O'Quinn, so I don't know, just think it's a stay away spot for those Knicks front court players. Let's move on to Charlotte really quick, and basically it's only three guys I'm really kind of looking at and talking about: Kemba Walker, Nicholas Batum, and Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard, think he's actually a pretty good play. The problem is now there's a lot of really good value plays at the center spot now, so I'm kind of like not as interested. But if you are paying up at center, I think Dwight is a good play and could smash here, right? It's not it's not impossible for him to get 60 fantasy points against the Knicks here in a 220 total. So I think Dwight Howard is a fine play on the slate. If you want to pay up at center, I wouldn't talk you out of playing him. Kemba Walker, I probably will try and talk you out of. I get if you want to play Kemba, but I just think Chris Paul's a better play, so I'm going to play Chris Paul instead. He had a bad game the last game, but recency bias made people, you know, move off of him. And I don't know, I just think it's Chris Paul's a way better play against the Pelicans, who we've been targeting a ton recently. Nicholas Batum, he's been really solid. I'll just read his last three games. 41 fantasy points, 57 and 54.9. Just really great outings for him. And this spot against the Knicks is a good spot. I like Batum here. I think he's a good play on a site like FanDuel where you have to play two shooting guards. So he's someone that I think is an interesting play. If it was on DraftKings and it was between like Batum and a Jrue Holiday, I'd probably lean a Jrue Holiday instead. But again, Batum, he's a pretty solid play. So yeah, don't think you should ignore him. I know the price has gone up and it seems expensive for a guy like Batum, but I still think he's a fine play. All the other fringe options, like you know, the Marvin Williams, the Jeremy Lambs, I just don't think we have to mess around with those guys. So yeah, I'm gonna pass on them and kind of move on to the next game. Let's talk about it. Dallas Mavericks, Brooklyn Nets. 214 total, definitely a game to look at because, you know, there's definitely some injury news that we have to monitor on this slate. We have, you know, Harrison Barnes, he is out, and that's a lot of usage going around for a team like Dallas. Then we have J.J. Barea, he is doubtful. And then we have Dorian Finney-Smith, he's also looks like he's going to be resting this game. So there are not a lot of bodies in Dallas and a lot to like here, I think. Dennis Smith Jr., I think he's going to be an elite play on the slate. Gotta like him. He's someone I want to get a ton of exposure to. Same with the Yogi Ferrell. I think he's a really good value. Problem is, I don't think I need to go to him that much. I don't think he's like one of the strongest values on the slate. I think he's in play and in the conversation, but I just think there's stronger values where we don't have to. One of the strong values, I think, is Nerlens Noel. It feels like a great Nerlens Noel spot. My one concern with Nerlens Noel is like, if Dallas is tanking, are they really going to give Nerlens Noel a lot of run, or are they going to look to try and get some other guys some run, right? Are they going to look at the Dwight Powells, the Maxi Cleavers, and maybe just like throwing in like a Doug McDermott and the Warney and Motley? Like, I know they talked about maybe getting Warney and Motley some more runs, so I don't know. I just think I think it's a great Nerlens Noel spot. I really want to play him, but I don't know. A little worried that maybe Dallas is trying to tank too hard and maybe they don't give him a run if he starts struggling. But if Nerlens Noel is thriving, which it's the Nets, he should thrive, he would be an elite tournament play. So I like Noel. I think I'm definitely going to get a lot of exposure to him here. I know Dirk is probably going to play, but I'm not expecting a lot of minutes from him. So a guy like Dwight Powell, I think, will definitely step in and do a lot there. Harrison Barnes, when he was out last, Dwight Powell was pretty good. And I expect Dwight Powell to be a solid play here. So I like him as well. And then I didn't talk about Kyle Collinsworth. I mean, there's only three guards right now that can really get some run if a guy like Barea sits. So I don't know. There's just a lot of minutes to go around. So maybe Kyle Collinsworth could become like a really deep tournament dart throw. But I think we're getting a little too cute. Like I said, there's already strong values that we kind of talked about in the Dallas game. Nerlens Noel is my strongest one. I think even Dennis Smith Jr. is a good play. And then even Powell's a nice value at his price. So that'll about do it for the Nets, or not the Nets, the Mavericks. Let's move over to the Nets, though. They have Allen Crabbe. He is currently has an illness, and we don't know if he'll play or not, but if he doesn't play, that's going to be obviously good for some Nets. And then Dante Cunningham, he is currently hurting with an eye, so we'll have to see how the news kind of shakes up with them. But other than that, like, man, it's tough. Like, Spencer Dinwiddie, I don't really want to roster him at this time. I think the main guys I'm looking at are D'Angelo Russell and Caris LeVert. If Allen Crabbe is out, I expect them to be the main beneficiaries here, and I think that they're really solid plays. Also, a guy like Joe Harris, he'll pick up a ton of minutes. He played 35 minutes last night, only had 20.4 fantasy points, so not the greatest production from him. But he's a cheap value. That's probably like a safe cash game option. But again, I don't know if there's a ton of upside there for a guy like Joe Harris. Damari Carroll, I think he's a blah cash game play. Like, I'm just not the biggest fan of him here. I just think the value's too good on this slate. We really don't have to play a guy like a Damari Carroll. I get it. He could be fine and safe, but no need for me to go him. I'd rather go a Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who is a similar price, and I think it's just, like, way more upside than a guy like Carroll. And I could see him being a pretty big beneficiary with some of these Nets guys being out. And I'm expecting him to get a little more run than, 27 minutes. I can see him hitting in the 30s here if this game is close. So I like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson more, and I'd rather gravitate towards him than a guy like Damari Carroll. But that's about it for that game. Let's move on to the next one. We have the Denver Nuggets and the Memphis Grizzlies. And this is a game that, man, like, first look, I was like, hey, I really don't want to get a ton of exposure to this. But the more and more I thought about it, I think there's some interesting spots that we might want to get some exposure to, right? We have Memphis in a 219.5 total, which is something very unusual that you don't see too often with these guys. And a guy like Tyreke Evans, who, you know, with Andrew Harrison questionable and Meyer Chalmers, there's going to be all the usage for him. And if Gary Harris doesn't play because he's currently questionable, that would be great for Tyreke Evans on the offensive end. He won't have to worry about Gary Harris defensively, who's one of the stronger defenders on that Nuggets team. And Tyreke Evans coming back from that injury had a big game against the Bulls with 47.5 fantasy points. How do we not have some interesting Tyreke Evans where we know he's got a matchup against the Nuggets where they struggle against guards? So I think Tyreke Evans could really be a great tournament play here. Someone to consider on this slate that maybe you were kind of overlooking with all this type of value. I think he's interesting. If you're game stacking this game, he's someone that you want to get exposure to. Other than that, I think Marc Gasol is in the conversation too for main reasons of just he sees a ton of usage, and if this game is close, Marc Gasol is likely part of the reason why. So I understand if you want to go him at center, but Tyreke Evans is probably my favorite play on the Memphis side of the ball. I talked about how Denver is dealing with some injuries, so a guy like Gary Harris is going to be in the conversation, a guy like Jamal Murray and Will Barton are going to be in the conversation because he's questionable. That's going to give some extra minutes to a guy like Murray and Will Barton, and their prices have gone down because of the Paul Millsap situation. A lot of usage got sucked away from them, so their prices have gone down a ton, and if a guy like Gary Harris sits, this could be great for a guy like Jamal Murray and Will Barton. I think this could be really good spots for them in tournaments, and I think getting exposure to them could be a really sharp play, so I like those two if Gary Harris sits. Other than that, though, I don't really want to go Jokic against Gasol. It's just a tough defensive matchup, so no need for me to go there. Paul Millsap, a little too pricey for my liking, and Wilson Chandler, I don't know. It's just too up and down for me, and I don't know. Don't love this spot for him. It's really those guards that I'm looking to target on the Nuggets side of the ball, and I'm hoping that a guy like Gary Harris sits so that opens up some upside for those two. But that's about it for that game. Let's move on to the next one. We have the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Chicago Bulls with a 225 total. Let's talk about the Cleveland side of the ball first. And man, they have a ton of injuries going on in Cleveland. I mean, it's definitely going to be a situation that we're going to want to target. There's great value here. And they're going against the Bulls, who are a terrible team. They're tanking, and, you know, the Cavs need this game. So I'm expecting them to be playing hard. And a lot of these guys are going to get minutes because we got Larry Nance. He's currently out. We have Tristan Thompson. He's out. Kevin Love, too, right? They're all out. Then we got Rodney Hood. He's out. Kyle Korver. He's out. And, you know, that's just going to open up a lot of minutes here. A guy like J.R. Smith, he just got benched. Everyone has to keep that in mind, right? So if you're someone who gets benched and then, you know, you have an opportunity to come in the starting lineup, you're going to want to have a big game, right? You're going to want to come out and show, you know, kind of who's boss, who should be the starter, who's the guy. Like, you want to get your job back. So, I'm expecting a pretty big game out of him here. Maybe, you know, he's cheap, right? Maybe more of like a FanDuel player where you have to play two shooting guards. But I think there's some upside here. I wouldn't want to like sleep on J.R. Smith. I know he's very points dependent. That's kind of the issue with J.R. Smith, right? But I just don't think he's a terrible play. Not one of my favorite values on this Cavs team, but I do think he's in the conversation. Also, I think George Hill, I think he's a nice cheap point guard option that you can consider. You know, he's going to get a ton of run. Should definitely be a solid play. Probably the value that I like the most, though, is Jeff Green. I mean, I'm expecting him to really thrive in this game. Should get a lot of run with Larry Nance out. He played 27 minutes and 33 minutes, had 34.3 fantasy points and 27 fantasy points. He is probably my favorite value play on that team. If we get word that Ante Zizek is starting, it's tough to trust Tyronn Lue, but if we get word he's starting, we liked him the other day. There's reason to like him again, especially against the Bulls here who struggled defensively. I think Zizek could be interesting and something that we have to monitor and wait and see what kind of the Cavs are doing with their starting lineup. But LeBron James, right, he's just going to see so much usage. He's going to have to do so much lifting for this team. If the Bulls can keep it close, man, like LeBron could have a massive game. He's someone that you're going to want to get exposure to. I think he's someone that's definitely going to be in the conversation and someone that we want to definitely look at. So, again, have to love LeBron here in this spot. Think it's a really, really great spot to want to pay up for him. Let's move on to the Bulls side of the ball. And the best way I can really put the Bulls side of the ball for you right now is just watch for the news. There's going to be tons of news here with the Bulls. I'll run through the laundry list now on them. Chris Dunn, he is out. Zach LaVine, he is questionable. Justin Holiday, he has been a DNP coach's decision. The problem with him is, like, will he play for this game if Zach LaVine is out and with Chris Dunn out? I mean, we don't really know what's going to happen there in that situation. So I really think Justin Holliday is definitely in the conversation, someone that you might have to consider, but that's something we're going to have to wait and see and really pay close attention to the beat writers and what they're kind of doing. Other than that, though, we got, Lauri Markkanen, he is still out. We got Noah Vonleh, who's been a great value that we've all been targeting recently. He is questionable for this game, so that's obviously something that we're going to want to monitor a ton. And then Robin Lopez, his minutes have been just playing 12 minutes the past three games, so or four games. So he's only really playing the first quarter. Will he play more than that? We don't know. So it's kind of a really frustrating spot right now. So kind of the Bulls are just a team that I need to wait and see on. I would love to give more analysis on them, but I need to know who's in and who's out and whatnot. I mean, there's tons of things that could fall with Justin Holliday, so not really going to dive deep on that. Mainly just say, like, hey, Bobby Portis, he's a guy that's going to be a good play. It seems like Denzel Valentine and David Nwaba, they could be guys that are definitely going to get some run, but this backcourt, I'm going to kind of be curious to see what happens. Like, a Cameron Payne could definitely be a really nice value play on this slate if he gets, like, 25 minutes like he did last game. Could definitely have, like, solid outing, but we really need to just wait and see with this Bulls team. But let's go on to the next game. Next one on the slate, we have the Minnesota Timberwolves and the San Antonio Spurs, and this is a game that has a lot of playoff implications. We got the Spurs at the 8 seed. They're only one back of the Timberwolves, who are at the 4 seed right now. So this is a game that, man, it's going to matter a ton. I think you're going to get a lot of tight rotations out of teams like the Timberwolves and Spurs. And, you know, I think a guy like Karl Anthony Towns is going to be a great play. He's way too cheap on DraftKings, specifically 9.5K. I think there's a ton of upside for him in his two games against the Spurs. He had, let me pull it up because it was pretty solid, it was 49.4 fantasy points, so I'll take that at his price. I think he's definitely a guy that could crush here. He's gonna get a ton of run, should see a lot of usage. So yeah, I think that this is a pretty solid spot for a guy like Towns, despite the matchup against the Spurs being one of more of the difficult ones, especially with the 210.5 total and, like, you know, the Spurs just playing at a super slow pace. But again, Towns will see a ton of minutes and he'll get a ton of run, and they're going to need to lean on him in this game. If you force me to play anyone else, I don't hate Jeff Teague here, but yeah, I don't really want to go crazy with Timberwolves. It's really Towns is my main target, and that's kind of it right now. If we look at the Spurs side of the ball, man, I don't know. I don't really want to get a ton of exposure to these guys. I'm kind of worried about the price on them all. It's just, like, they all seem a little too priced up for my liking. I don't know, just there's already way too many good plays on the slate. I don't really need to be playing them, so I think I'm just going to fade the Spurs and kind of move on from this one. Let's go to the next game. Another really unappealing game, 198 total from the Sacramento Kings and the Utah Jazz. Just a game that, man, I am not interested in a ton. The one thing that's obviously big is Ricky Rubio. We're kind of waiting on news on him. He is questionable for this game, so that'll definitely open up some value on this team. I know David Stockton, John Stockton's son, was given a 10-day contract, so he could obviously get some minutes here. Don't know how much he would get, but he definitely could get some. Dante Exum, he finally came back against Phoenix. He only played 14 minutes. I'm curious what they kind of do with him, but I'm expecting Stockton should get a little bit of run-up point guard, too, if they're signing him. I'd expect Rubio not to play, but, you know, a guy like Donovan Mitchell, I'm sure he's going to get some point guard run, too. I think he's a solid play against a team like the Kings. I'm trying to think. I believe Noto qualified for his live final playing. You know, I know he played Gobert and Mitchell, but did he play him against the Kings? I'm trying to think back because they did play on the third. Let me see here. But, you know, someone like Noto, I'm assuming he'd want to go back to the well. Like I said, I'm trying to think through. Yeah, I think that was the game that they played against the Kings, and Noto had the Mitchell and Gobert on the team, so he definitely benefited from those two guys, and these are great spots for them, right? We know the Kings struggle against guards, and they struggle against opposing big men. Could see them doing well. I just worry about the price on Gobert. I think that's a little pricey for me, and I don't know if I'm going to end up going that route on this slate, but I understand he has a ceiling that could be pretty massive still, even at that price, right? We've seen him hit 60. He can definitely do that. It's not out of the realm of possibilities, but again, he's someone I don't think I'm going to pay up for on this slate. Donovan Mitchell, though, again, I think he's an okay play. But other than that, I really don't want to target a lot of these Utah guys. Like, I'm not going to play Ingles or Favors. I'm just going to pass on them. When it comes to the Kings, though, I do think Willie Cauley-Stein, you know, he's going to get the run out there. But I don't know. I think it's a solid spot just to pass on him. You know, I don't need to play Scal and Randolph unless I hear word that one of them are sitting. I don't really have interest in those guys or Cauley-Stein. And, like, just, I don't know, it just seems like a solid fade spot. I don't want to really play these guys. And on the second night of a back-to-back, tough Jazz team, we can just fade this and just move on, guys. Not the greatest game on the slate. Let's go on to another one. We have the Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns. This is a 216 total, and Golden State Warriors have a ton of injuries. Steph Curry, he is out. Klay Thompson, he is currently out. We have Kevin Durant, he is also out. So, man, it's going to be the Draymond Green show, right? He's going to get a ton of run. He had 50.5 fantasy points last night, expecting him to probably get a lot of run against a team like Phoenix. This is a spot where if Phoenix can keep it close, Draymond Green should absolutely crush. He's going to be someone that you want to play. Like him a lot. He's definitely someone to get exposure to on the slate. Omer Kasipi, he's also going to be out for this game, and with him being out, that's going to help out Andre Iguodala, definitely going to help out Nick Young. Those are going to be two values to definitely look at here. And also Quinn Cook. He is a point guard, and he's really cheap around the industry. We're also a guard, but he played 40 minutes last game and had 42.3 fantasy points. Part of the reason was he had 25 real-life points. I'm not expecting that again, but Quinn Cook for 3,900, he doesn't have to give me 42 again, so I think he's in the conversation as well and someone to consider on this slate. If I look at the front court and I decide to roster anyone here, which I don't think I do because I think there's already better guys in the front court for cheap, so I don't need them really mess around with this. A guy like Kevin Looney, right, he could see a solid amount of run and be fine for his price, but I don't know. I don't really want to go crazy with Golden State guys here. It's mainly the guys in like the backcourt I think I'm keying in on, and a guy like Draymond Green, who is definitely going to be an elite play on the slate. The Phoenix side of the ball is interesting because a guy like Devin Booker, he is questionable for this game. And if he plays, of course I want exposure to Devin Booker against the Warriors. He could absolutely have one of those huge games, and he's really cheap right now. I just think Devin Booker, if we get word he plays before lock, I think he'd be an interesting tournament play that you can get super low owned. If he doesn't play, though, TJ Warren, he has some upside here. A guy like Josh Jackson, he'll have a lot of upside. So those are guys definitely that are going to be in the conversation and ones to consider on the slate. So don't forget about them. Elfrid Payton, too, against the Warriors. He could absolutely crush them. He's got a really cheap price tag. I know he hasn't been good. He played 16 minutes the last game. Really frustrating. But, man, Elfrid Payton for 5,600 on FanDuel? Like, am I seeing this correctly? We all know what type of upside this guy has. How is he this cheap? I know he's been bad. He's only 6K on DraftKings also, but he has upside. And if we, think he's going to get a lot, 30 minutes, how do we not have consideration for him for the upside that he has? Other than that, though, in this front court, I really don't want to mess around with any of these other guys. I know Marquise Chris, he's going to be dealing with a suspension possibly for what he did Thursday night. So I definitely be slightly worried about him. Tyson Chandler, dealing with a neck issue. But again, I think there's a lot of other better value plays, and I don't want to, take too many shots on these Suns guys because they can be really inconsistent and really frustrating. And it's not the easiest matchup against a Golden State team who, even with without missing those guys, I'm sure that they could still beat them just because the Warriors are just, a lot better than other people, and the Suns are really, really bad. I get this is not the best Golden State team, but, man, the Suns are not a good basketball team, and if they don't have Devin Booker, man, it could get ugly. Let's go on to the last game of the night. We got the Detroit Pistons and the Portland Trailblazers. This is a 207.5 team total, and this is a game that, looking at things, I think on the Pistons side of the ball, if you force me to play anyone, it's probably Andre Drummond. I just think an 8.6K price tag is too cheap on a site like DraftKings. On FanDuel, I'm not the biggest fan, but on a site like DraftKings, that price is just too cheap for a guy like him, so he's in the conversation. But to be honest, I really don't like the Pistons side of the ball that much. I feel like Blake Griffin's a little too pricey for me, so I'll pass on him. Like Ish Smith, I don't need. Ennis, Bullock, all these other bench guys. Not really a fan of it. It's really just maybe Drummond as like a tournament dart throw because he's just too cheap, and that's kind of about it. Looking at the Blazers side of the ball, Damian Lillard, a little too pricey for me. I get it. This is definitely a good matchup for him. He can have a big game, but I think he's too priced up on this slate. Don't think I need to really go to him. I'm going to pass on him. Same with CJ McCollum. I don't know. I think this game is just a solid fade game. We've already talked about so many good spots on the slate, and there's still more value that can end up opening up. There's a lot of great pay-up options already. I just don't think I need to play any of these Blazers here. So honestly, just fully, I think this is a solid game to fade overall. Don't really think I need to get too much exposure to it, but that's about it for the slate, guys. It's a 10-game slate. This is one of the slates that has a crazy ton of value. Definitely something you're going to want to be keying in on today. It's just a lot of value to look at, and Lock and load play of the day, man, it's tough. There's just so much value to look at. And, you know, if this guy gets the run, I mean, I'm assuming he gets the run. It makes sense to. Nerlens Noel, I'll make him my lock and load play of the day. I just think this is a fantastic spot for him. The Nets are so bad against opposing big men. He should absolutely thrive here. On DraftKings, that price is just too cheap for him. So over there specifically, I think he's a really good play. But, man, there's so many good values. Like, you don't have to play him for sure. You know, we got all this value on the Bulls. We got all this value on the Cavs. We have these great pay-up options in LeBron. We have a pay-up option in, you know, Davis and Harden. They're all in good spots. Quinn Cook, right? You know, he was absolutely amazing, and now he gets a spot against Phoenix. Like, I feel like he could be a lock and load play. I like that game of the Pelicans and Rockets. Drew Holiday, he feels way too cheap on a site like DraftKings. There's just so many good plays around here. So I don't know. Again, like I said, I talked about Nerlens Noel. He's a guy that I've kind of been looking forward to rostering in a good spot, and I feel like this is a good spot for him. I don't know if he's lock and load, but he's a great play. And then there's also Iguodala, Nick Young with the Warriors going up against the Suns. I mean, there's just, man, there's so many good plays here. So again, take the lock and load play with a grain of salt. There's so many good values. And again, I think the best way to preach the lock and load plays, it's a stars and scrubs night. This is not a night to build in the mid-tier guys. This is a night to really jam in those studs. I think trying to get in two guys like a LeBron, a Davis, and a Harden, or maybe just go like a LeBron, and maybe you can get in like a Drew Holiday and then a Karl Anthony Towns, and then really just go with the studs. You could do something like that. I think there's just tons of different routes to go on this slate. So again, guys, load up on the stars and scrubs. That'll be my lock and load instead. How's that sound? So again, thanks a lot for joining me. Enjoy doing the podcast for you guys. If you have any questions, give me a follow on Twitter at Travis Mangone. It's TravisMangone. And if you have any feedback on the podcast, you know, always down to hear some feedback from you guys so we can make it better for you. Again, thanks a lot for joining me. And for me, Travis Mangone, I am out.